Amen. Please be seated. We have begun a series in the book of Hosea, and we turn there again this evening. Just the first three verses still. We're still in the introductory areas of this book. Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Just that far in the reading of the word, may that word dwell in our hearts richly. Let's approach the throne of grace once again. Almighty God, we have come to worship, and we would now worship by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith comes by that word, is built up by that word. And so, Father, we pray for the one who speaks, those who hear. We've not come to be entertained or just pass the time, but Father, we would see Jesus, feed on that bread of heaven, be strengthened for all that you call us to do. Hear us, Father, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, there is one word that will get you into more long-term trouble than any other word. Or that word will bring blessing to you that will last longer than this life. What is that word? Obey. In all its forms in the Bible, it appears some 157 times. It's not one of those words that only shows up once and has a very specific meaning just for one verse. No, obedience is the original problem of original sin. Right after God made the heavens and the earth, he put Adam in the garden. And we are familiar with that passage in Genesis 2, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man. The maker of all things gave Adam an order. He said, "There is this one tree you must not eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, if Adam, you disobey," Genesis 2, 17, "in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." There are consequences to disobedience. There is a penalty for sin. Obedience is the problem. If you at first admit the Lord's majesty, power as creator, that he alone is almighty, as such, the almighty creator, the living and true God, he is worthy of your obedience. And if you understand that, you will begin to see how very sinful disobedience is. Obedience is doing what God commands, asking what God requires. and doing what God says to do the way that God says to do it. The Lord has made it very clear. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. God's people, at that moment, when God said that, had the right attitude. That's Exodus 19:5. In Exodus 19:8, they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And they say the same thing in Exodus 24, verse 3, Exodus 24, verse 7, Deuteronomy 5, verse 27. They repeat it on a couple of different occasions. All that the Father says to do, all that God Almighty says to do, we will do. You remember that very famous little phrase in 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice. You see, it's not worship that God is primarily looking for. It's not your feelings that matter. It's not how much money you've given or plan to give. What the Lord wants from you, the reason you have a problem with the Lord, is He wants your obedience. He demands your obedience. He commands your obedience. He expects your obedience. What if the Lord gave up on you the first time you disobeyed? What if there was no remedy for your disobedience? Without the everlasting love of God for His people, you would be in big trouble, wouldn't you? Hosea is a picture of that love. And we see here in the very calling of Hosea, the first word, the right response, and the only hope. What is that first word? When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry. In fact, the first word is actually two words, if you will. The first word being go. One commentator put it this way, Hosea went because he was sent. Why did he go? God told him to. In fact, no man should choose preacher simply because it's a career choice. But if the word is from Jehovah, and Jehovah speaks, and Jehovah says, and you are a believer who trusts Him, then when the Lord makes His will known, and He says, go, you'll go. The call of God on a man's life is a serious thing. And the call to be a preacher, it's not a call from the church, although the church plays a part. It's not a call from the presbytery, although the presbytery plays a part. It's not a call from the mission board. But God makes the call. Now, don't misunderstand. Let me be very clear. I did not hear a voice, see a dream, have a vision. All the preachers I know did not hear a voice, see a vision, but God, through church members, God, through the elders of the church, through the elders of the presbytery, through an inner call that I could not ignore, eventually made it very clear how Hosea actually got this call is in these words. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, how did he do that? Vision, dreams, a voice, we don't know. But Hosea knew it was the voice of the Lord. And Hosea knew it was God who was saying, go. He was careful with God's word. How much more careful ought preachers be in their preaching? If this is God's word that we are handling, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul says, do not handle the word of God deceitfully. Paul says, be very careful with the word of God. Preach what? The word. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. God's word came to Hosea. Go. And do what? Take for yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry. I wrote a very profound word in my notes. Wow. Sounds like God is telling Hosea to sin. But there are several passages of the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 13, that tell us, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Listen, God is not the author of sin. God did not cause you to sin. God is not the reason you sin. Ever. That's the teaching of the Bible. But the question remains, is God telling Hosea to marry a prostitute who is actively working in that sinful trade? It's highly unlikely. Now, commentators differ in the way they explain this problem. Was she a sinner? Well, what's the obvious answer to that? Yeah, she was. Why? Because she's human. There's no question about that. All have sinned. Now, it's possible, there's a couple of ways to look at it, that Gomer may have been a harlot who was not now a harlot, and Hosea is making an honest woman of her. Think about you, me. We have all been sinners. And yet when we come to faith, God enters into a covenant with us Perfect people? No. And sometimes when we come into that covenant relationship with God, it's because we come out of a very sinful lifestyle. Gomer may have been inclined, tempted to that lifestyle before the marriage. There's no question about what she's going to do. The book's going to open that up. But brothers and sisters, when God calls a sinner out of darkness, He's calling them out of the darkness of sin. Isn't that your testimony? He didn't wait for you to become perfect in order to call you. He brings us into the light and life of Christ. Hosea's marriage to Gomer is a picture of God's relationship to His children. Every child of God was at one point dead in sin, tainted by sin. Wherever you are in your sanctification, there was a point in your life when your record, your life, your heart were that of a cobra. You did not have a heart that was seeking after God. You did not have a record that you could present to God. You did not have a life dedicated to the service of God. And yet, the gospel came to you. The gospel called you. What is the first word of the gospel? Is it not, "Come to me, all you who are" what? "Heavy laden, labor, and I will give you rest." The first word is go. What's the right response? Verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. The obedience of Hosea is obvious. It's an obedience of faith. Hosea trusts that the God who calls him has spoken. Hosea believed God is and God has spoken. And if the Holy One gives the orders, they must be good. If you trust the Lord, and if the Lord speaks in His Word, what should your response be? Go. So he went. If the Word of God is clear, should there be any hesitation on your part? No. Once again, Christian obedience is important. Okay. Yes, there are some hard things to understand, but as Mark Twain famously said, it's not the things that I don't understand in the Bible that give me trouble, it's the things I do understand. The clear things. The easy to understand things. They're the ones that often give people trouble. I tried to think through what are the clearest things that I could come up with. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Am I wrong? Is that unclear? Do not give up the gathering together of yourselves. Christians are to meet for worship and prayer and fellowship. Yes, There may be situations. You live in an oppressive communist country where you take your life in your hands to meet. Okay, that presents certain problems. But brothers and sisters, do we not have testimony of Christians who have met under those circumstances? Second Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's clear. Listen. Christians have no business dating non-Christians. Period. Has it ever worked out? Unfortunately, it has. Where some Christian young man or Christian young woman dates a non-believer who ends up becoming a believer. Praise God. But you know how many marriages I could tell you about? Where the wife is a dedicated believer, the husband is not. What part of don't be yoked with unbelievers do you not get? The Bible says if you cannot exercise self-control, 1 Corinthians 7:9, then marry. Where is a young person to find an expression of their physical relationship with another person of the opposite sex, I might have to say today? In marriage, that's where. Let me be clear again. Christians have no business being sexually active unless you put on one of these. A wedding ring. A marriage bond. You have no business being involved in a sexual life outside of marriage. There are many others that God has made clear. What is the right response? Obey. Well, what if you have disobeyed? Well, let's take the broad general picture. Has not the Bible said, be holy, for I am holy? Who here is holy enough? You're not holy, are you? You wouldn't even claim, I'm holy enough. You wouldn't say such a thing. What if you are the people of God? Called by God, brought out of Egypt by God, brought into the promised land by God. And yet you're not doing what God said. You're not avoiding what God says to avoid. What if there is a war going on between your flesh and your spirit? You are unholy. And the one thing you need is holiness. What are you going to do? What's the only hope? End of verse 3. And she conceived and bore him a son. Now, we're going to unpack, Lord willing, what those children's names and how they apply. But I remind you that the whole book of Hosea is a picture of God and his people, or we might say, Christ and his bride, the church. And she conceived and bore him a son. How did sin come into the world? Sin came into the world through a man. Through man. Mankind. And the promise of God is that the Redeemer of God's people comes through man. A child who's going to be born. And the great prophet Isaiah says what? The Lord is going to give you a sign. Isaiah 7:14. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, for he will save his people. Matthew 1:21. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You need holiness. You don't have it. But the one who was born, how did Jesus save his people from their sins? Yes, he died. But Philippians 2:8 says, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. That word obedience means he did what God said to do. Didn't do what God said don't do. Jesus was obedient. In every detail. Hebrews 7:26. Holy, harmless, undefiled. That's the Hebrew way of trying to say nothing. No sin. Not in his thoughts. Not in his words. Not in his deeds. By the way, we say that often around here, thoughts, words, and deeds. Why? Because it covers pretty much every area of life, doesn't it? Thoughts. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are higher than yours. My ways higher than yours. You know, it never entered the mind of Christ Jesus to question his Father's will. Let's be honest. You ever think you know better than God? Oh Lord, it can't be your will for me to get cancer. It can't be your will for me to lose this job. It couldn't possibly be your will for this relationship not to work out. You think you know a better way than God's? You don't. Words. Jesus never spoke an idle word, a sinful word, an unnecessary word, a wasted word. Can you say that? Can you believe that you've said some of the stupid, sinful, wasteful words that you have said? Have you not ever said something and almost like in a cartoon, you know, you can see the words leaving your mouth and you wish you could reach out and grab them and pull them back? Yeah. Am I the only one that's ever done that? No. Not Jesus. Jesus never said a wasteful, sinful, stupid, untoward word. Never. Deeds. Jesus did not come to do his own will, but the will of his Father who sent him. John 5, verse 30. He never failed, hesitated, delayed, debated, or argued. He obeyed. Can you say that you have obeyed God in every detail? God is calling Hosea to an inconvenient life. Let me tell you something. A life of obedience is not the world's idea of a good idea. The world thinks Hosea is a fool. Don't you have family and friends? I know you do. Who think you're nuts? Speaking with a brother, he said, my family thinks I'm a Pharisee. Yeah, mine thought I'd join a cult. For the first couple of years of being a Christian, every birthday, every Christmas, every time there was a present, I got some religious artifact. Little head of Jesus with a light in it. I had to finally say to my family, please stop. They thought I joined a cult because I went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And when there was a conference, I went to it. When there was a special speaker in town, I went to listen to him. They thought I was a nut. Hosea? You're going to marry Gomer? It's an inconvenient life. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a tremendous profession of faith that verse is. And as far as living an inconvenient life, 1 John 3, verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know, sometimes I think there are various teachings of the Christian church today that are trying to get the world to like us. Like if we could just get them to like us, we would have achieved something. Bible says they're going to hate us. You shouldn't be surprised if the world thinks you're nuts. You what? You honor your parents? You pay your taxes? You love your enemies? Are you nuts? Why, they might ask. I like 1 John 4:19. One of the answers that we could give, we love him because he first loved us. Even though we had gone astray, we were not living an exemplary life. We had sinned against God. But his everlasting love and mercy in and through Jesus Christ was promised to all who repent and believe the gospel. There isn't anybody here who's so far gone that God can't redeem you. Pastor, if you only knew. I don't have to know. I know already. To everyone who has a problem with this word, obey, who's that? Every single one of us has a problem with that word, obey. But there are certain things that are clear. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. That's the word of the gospel. The first word is Jesus, and the right response is faith in him. Obey him. Believe the gospel. Accept Jesus Christ as he's offered. And believing, you may have life in his name. You, the terrible sinner you are. You might not have lived long enough to have had a life of notorious sin. Micah, you don't have to admit anything, but how old are you?
12.
How bad a sinner are you? You don't have to say a word. I'm sure that Micah wouldn't have a testimony of harlotry and stealing and murder and all the rest, but he's a sinner. And by the way, Micah, you need Jesus as badly as, well, your long-haired brother. I'm just kidding about the hair. I ended these notes about 4 minutes ago. But brothers and sisters, Hosea is a picture of us. We have gone astray. And God could have left us there. But he sends the preacher, the prophet, who has a word. Come to me, Jesus says, that you may have life. You may have a relationship, a covenant connection that's everlasting. What a blessing. But it's a call to an inconvenient life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize that there are difficulties even in a prophecy like Hosea's. We can't fully unpack, but we know that you are a good God. And that your ways are always good. And so we trust, Father, that in this story, there's a picture of redemption that applies to us. Help us to obey that word and come to Jesus in faith, trusting on his life and his death and his resurrection as our only hope. Hear our prayers, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.